going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You know I love the draft. It's a valuation exercise, right? There's this entire, whether you want to call it the real estate market, the stock market, there's an entire financial component to how you evaluate the draft. It's not just, did you pick the right player? Like, because today we have no idea.
Oh, it's an A-plus grade. Everyone gets an A-plus.
No, I'm just talking about anyone in general.
I know.
Right?
It's so silly. The whole process is kind of laughable to me and how we discuss it, first and foremost. The fact that, let's just take a step back. The draft yesterday was at Lambeau Field in Green Bay.
Yes.
It's like 200,000 people there. Why?
To drink.
Right?
Well, I mean, the party.
I guess it is Wisconsin.
Like, what are we talking about? Are you kidding yourself? Yeah. People go into the middle of the desert and they play a little music and they're like, oh, it's a festival. It's Coachella. As I'm seeing people get like carried out, you know what I mean?
Sounds like they had a great time.
Porta potties. How are you surprised? Anyway, it's an economic exercise, right? To a degree where you're basically sitting here and you're like, all right, I like this guy in the second round. I don't like him at 15, you know, like, for example, I remember the day that they drafted Javon Kinlaw. And I said to myself, like, I just don't like him at that spot. I don't want to take someone 13th overall with a first round price tag because there's money attached to each player who's only going to be a 2-down lineman.
And you knew immediately that they were just replacing DeForest Buckner with that pick too.
Yes.
Which also made you not like that pick.
Right. And so there's an entire economic exercise wrapped around it. But like yesterday was the 20th anniversary, essentially, of the 49ers taking Alex Smith. Which is a great example. Yeah. I didn't love the Alex Smith pick. Who was going to take him?
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Like what? Who's taking Alex? Right? You, Tampa, Gruden faked it. I'm going way back in the day. Like you were, and then The Niners came out and said, yeah, we might trade for the number four overall pick, and we might take Aaron Rodgers. You're going to take two quarterbacks? Again, economic exercise. How dumb can you be? This is like doubling down. You can barely afford one house, but you're out here buying two. The Niners had a ton of needs. This year's Niners, a ton of needs. My number one need for this team was stop the run and get the defense better. I'm just going to give you, forget the player for a second. I'm going to give you, right now, you have Nick Bosa under contract, and you have Fred Warner under contract. Name another player you know in the front seven who's under contract.
Yetur Gross-Matos.
Exactly. Hence my point. Okay? So on some level, it's pretty obvious this team needed to invest in the trenches. They need to get better. They needed to stop the nosebleed. Let me just give you some of the statistics before I get to the player and do I think it's a good player, a good pick. Last year, the Niners gave almost 2,200 yards on the ground. They gave up 2,200 yards on the ground. That's horrible. Horrible if you look at the league. All right? Absolutely horrible. They gave up 50 touchdowns in general. 50 touchdowns on defense. Now, yards per game, because the way the Niners play football, they want to run the ball. You're going to limit the amount of possessions a team has. If you throw the ball 40 times, the clock stops. You know, during every incomplete pass, there's going to be more snaps in a game. If you look at the Shanahan regime for the Niners, because of the limited number of snaps, because they're running the ball, because the clock is ticking, you're going to play less snaps. That being said, the 49ers gave up the fourth most points in the NFL last year. 44% of all possessions for the other team ended up in a score. That means almost half the time the other team had the ball, they were scoring a field goal or a touchdown. You needed to invest in the front seven. Now, we get to the pick. I have no idea if this guy's going to be Manny Lawson, who was a complete bust for the Niners, or Aldon Smith, who was an unreal pick, who should have went to the Hall of Fame, or something in between. We will see. Now, as a Niner fan, you're sitting here, in just the last 20 years, since that Alex Smith pick, they took Manny Lawson, who was an edge player to me, in the first round. They took Kentwan Bolmer, a D-tackle, in the first round. Aldon Smith, in the first round. Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas. I don't consider Reuben Foster an edge. He's a linebacker. Yeah. But Nick Bosa, Javon Kinlaw, and now the kid Williams from Georgia. They have invested in the defensive line over and over and over. And when they hit, and when this team is good, and when they go to the playoffs, 9 times out of 10, they've got a fearsome front seven that leads the way. And if you're going to play Kyle Shanahan football, you're going to stop the run. You're going to force teams into long passing possession, long passing downs. You're going to run the ball down teams' throat. I love investing in the front seven. Now, that being said, I kind of like Walker from Georgia, the linebacker, better. But going back to my conversation about valuation, is it great value to take a linebacker top 12, top 13 overall? I don't know.
I could have understood it, though, considering he just moved off of Dre Greenlaw. Right?
Like, and how important, it, looking back on it, had they selected Dre Greenlaw with a first-round pick, would it have been worth it?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, tremendous value in the fifth round. Tremendous. I understand all that. Both Fred Warner and him were found late.
Later.
But I will give this regime credit. They found multiple linebackers who have gone on to play good ball elsewhere via the late picks in the draft.
I think this has been their Achilles heel, though. Outside of Nick Bosa, who was a can't-miss prospect, like, they have not been able to find him a running mate. They just haven't been able to.
No.
They have not hit on one edge draft pick since Nick Bosa. And that's a problem.
I agree.
And that's the only thing that's going to change this team and flip them. Like, if Mikael Williams ends up being a stud and is in,
of course,
you know, defensive rookie of the year conversations, because I look at what happened with the Los Angeles Rams last year, right? Jared Verse, you know, Braden Fisk, those guys, and what they were able to do as rookies, changing the whole dynamic of that defense after Aaron Donald retired. Like, that changed everything for
them.
In which hell, you can make the argument they probably should have beaten the Eagles late in that drive. They had them on their heels, the game-winning drive. They could have gone to the Super Bowl and maybe won it. So, yeah, Mikael Williams is now a San Francisco 49er. I just, you know, like everyone does, you go back to the pick, like, all right, who's this guy? What were they saying about him before the draft? He's a Georgia Bulldog. He won a national championship as a freshman there. He
played as a true freshman.
True freshman.
On one of the baddest teams on the planet.
On one of the greatest college football teams we've ever seen.
Exactly. And if
Jalen Carter was his teammate.
Yeah, and if you look at some of the, you know, the ways the Eagles have run things, like, yes, have they taken guys from Iowa? Iowa's a good football program. I don't know if you guys know this.
Defensively, yes.
And their tight ends. Okay, I was just going to say.
And their tight ends.
They're producing NFL talent, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Look at it right now. The Big Ten and the SEC, that's where all the best players are coming out of right
yes.
now. Those are the two conferences where all these top dogs are. And this guy went up against NFL tackles just about every single matchup in the SEC. Now, what do I like about this pick? I like that, A, he's 20 years old.
Yeah, he's young.
And there's a lot to work with.
He's young.
B, they needed somebody in the front seven. I said it to you. You basically have two guys that everyone knows in Bosa and Fred Warner. When this team was humming, when they had Eric Armstead, when they had DeForest Buckner and Dee Ford, then you put in Nick Bosa into that combination, and you were able to run that NASCAR package that they love so much. I actually think this, and everyone going Alden Smith or whatever, to me, I actually think he reminds me a little more of a twitchier Eric Armstead. And the reason why I'm going at this, if you look at some of his tape, he's played a lot inside. Eric Armstead played a lot inside. Eric Armstead set the edge in the run game, in the wide nine. That's what got him the big money. It wasn't rushing the passer. Well, what this team has really missed is a guy who set the edge. How many times have we watched one of these defensive ends just get folded by a tight end, just get completely go upfield and not stay gap integrity, responsibility, centric and just totally blow the assignment over and over and over again. So I don't know if this guy can rush the passer. I know he looks good on stunts. I know Baldy loves him. We're going to have him on at 7:30.
Certainly are.
They're not done. So to me, this is one of the bricks of trying to build the foundation of another good defense. I just personally believe that if the 49ers are going to go anywhere under Kyle Shanahan and the way he wants to play football, running the ball, getting stops, limiting possessions, that's the throwback way this team plays.
And shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. We are streaming on those platforms all day long. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And as always, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. And you just heard Joe Shasky say it. Brian Baldinger, 7:30 Baldy's breakdowns. We'll break it all down. Mykel Williams, what he brings to the table. Who the 49ers could target later in this draft. They do have pick 43 today for round two. And then round three as well, pick 75 and the pick 100 for their one of their three. Or now, check that, four compensatory picks. Because as you know, in the Kyle Shanahan regime, they get a lot of compensatory picks.
You know, so there's a variety of ways to look at this. Like, do you even trust them to develop someone who's high, like a high upside guy? That's this is a guy that has a lot of traits.
Edge rushers, I actually don't trust them because they haven't shown me outside of Nick Bosa, who was a can't miss prospect, that they could. Drake Jackson, like,
oh, he's a third round pick.
That was like the last guy that you drafted that was like that high as an edge rusher.
Well, just
like,
let's look at their body of work. How many quote unquote, and I don't think this guy's a project per se, but he's clearly a guy that they think, oh, with Chris Kocerek alongside Nick Bosa, we think we can have this guy reach whatever his potential is. Currently, we think it can go even bigger. Is there any guy that you saw that this regime has drafted? It's like, oh yeah, that's an upside pick. Because immediately everyone's going to say Trey Lance, and that was a, you know, abject failure.
Yeah, Trey Lance.
But
okay.
Also, quarterback is probably the biggest bust position maybe of all the
and
positions.
I should look at the quarterback, and all teams do this, right? You fall in love with a certain tool that a quarterback has. And these days it's the arm, the strength, the athleticism, which I guess Shador Sanders does not have because he is falling, man. Man. He might fall to, could he fall to the nine? I'm just saying there might be a conversation with one Shador Sanders.
No.
He was the talk of the entire draft yesterday, kept falling. And after Pittsburgh did not select a quarterback, and then the Giants traded back into the first round to take Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss, the quarterback there. Yeah, it's going to be very fascinating to see where he lands today, because I would assume he is taken in the second round. And we'll ask Brian Baldinger about that again, 7:30. But that was a story. Obviously, the Jaguars trading up to the second overall pick, Joe. That was a big story. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Yeah, I didn't get that one. I'm going to be honest. I did not understand. Like, Travis Hunter, good player, fun, Am I trading next year's first round pick to move up three spots to go get him, though?
I mean, who was thinking that, hey, you know, the Jaguars, they're a DB away.
Right? Well, DB, like, wide receiver away. Like, I don't know what they're doing there. So
there are 1,000 wide receivers.
I know. So Cleveland received the number 5 pick in that pick swap, the second round pick, a fourth round selection, and a 2026 first round pick. And then the Jags obviously get the number 2 pick and a couple of swaps.
So
like, well, that one was shocking to me as we're talking about draft day storylines outside of what the Niners did.
Joe, 2023, they went to the Super Bowl. 2019, they went to the Super Bowl, correct? When you look at scoring percentage, I'm talking about the times the other team has the ball. The other team's on offense. How many times does that team score percentage-wise? When they went to the Super Bowl in 2019, 28%. The year before
last. You're
saying
the opposition scores against them?
Yes.
Okay.
28%. So that means you're getting stops, you know, whatever, 72% of the time.
Okay. Right? Got math. Yes.
All right. So 28%. That's a low number. You know, they were top three in the league that year. 2023, they actually gave up more points, but it was later in games because they were winning a lot.
Yeah.
But even then, it was 33%.
Mm.
All right. Last year, they gave up points on 44% of possessions for the other team. 44%.
Not good.
One of the worst teams in the league at that. So I got a million numbers. The one that sticks out for me, and if this guy doesn't get to the quarterback in terms of sacks, at minimum, he is going to improve their rush game. It sounds like he's the most polished rush defender on the edge in the draft, which I like. They need that. I know it's not sexy, but they need that. Stopping the run. They gave up 25 rushing touchdowns last year. When they are in their heyday and they're in their prime and they're going to the NFC Championship game, that number is somewhere between 9 and 13, okay? Half what that number was last year. I've got things like first downs and, you know, yards per carry. All those numbers last year were awful, just abjectly awful. Whether it's we're talking about comparing and contrasting from Super Bowl years when the Niners were an elite team to comparing and contrasting to the rest of the league and where the league is at. Because we know the league will oscillate year to year on, you know, throwing and running and things like that. Every metric tells you this defense sucks and they only have a couple guys. So to me, as much as I wanted to protect Brock Purdy, as much as it's nice to get the shiny weapons and things like that, they had to invest in the front seven. Now, is this player going to be any good? Do I trust Chris Kocurek? I have as many questions as everyone else out there. I'm not going to pretend like this is some slam dunk. We'll see. You know, and I don't know if they have earned the benefit of the doubt on taking traits guys with high upside. You know, for every Brandon Ayuk, who I was like, what? Where did that come from?
Right.
Who actually I think hit, you know?
Yeah, he did.
There's also a Dante Pettis.
Yeah.
You know, for every... You know, let's say Nick Bosa or Deebo Samuel, I can point to a Javon Kinlaw.
Yeah.
I can point to a Reuben Foster,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think it's a big mixed bag here. So I don't know. Do people even think this is the right position to take?
888-957-9570.
I guess is where I'm going.
Yeah, no. Was that the position of need for the 49ers in the first round for you, Niner Nation? 888-957-9570. And you can hit us up, call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. And again, Brian Baldinger, 730, the best football show podcast, Odyssey NFL Insider, former NFL offensive lineman, NFL Network. He does it all. Baldy breakdowns. This guy lives and breathes prospects. And he will tell you all about Mikel Williams. And in fact, he actually recorded this for us, for Odyssey, in regards to the draft spotlight. He did these for a bunch of the prospects in the first round. And this is what Baldy, his little snippet, and we'll get more in depth about it at 7:30, but this is a little snippet of what Baldy has to say about one Mikel Williams.
Draft Spotlight with NFL Network's Brian Baldinger. Brought to you by Laughing Monk Brewing. Here's Baldy.
Let's look at Mikel Williams from Georgia. Now, he's been a 3-year player for them. He was injured in the first game against Clemson this year and played on basically an injured ankle all year. But he is bigger than Nick Bosa, faster than Nick Bosa coming out of Ohio State. I mean, he's 6'5 and an 8. He's 267 pounds, ran a 4.75 40 with long arms, all right, bench press 28 times. But you go back and you watch him as an 18-year-old freshman. Like, he's playing in a 3 technique, taking on double teams. He's bringing heat off the edge. Like, he's standing deep offensive tackles up at the line of scrimmage, stack and shed. I think Mikel Williams is a real prospect at number 11. for the 49ers.
Draft Spotlight with Brian Baldinger. Brought to you by Laughing Monk Brewing. Righteously brewed in San Francisco.
It certainly is, and that's where we're broadcasting from. Shout out Sam Gadiri and Laughing Monk. Love you guys.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.